My guest this time is Amanda Bowman. She is the founder of the Anglosphere Society. She also worked closely with UK counterterrorism officials while serving as director of the New York office of the Center for Security Policy. She joins us now to discuss the London terrorism attacks from Saturday night and the response from the British government. And Amanda, it's great to have you back. Thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you, Greg. It's an honor to talk to you today.
Well, Prime Minister Theresa May responded much more directly, it seems, after these attacks than she did after the Manchester bombing last month. She talked about how Islamic extremism, which she didn't even mention then, was a major problem. She urged online crackdowns on radical messaging, and she also addressed the tolerance for extremism in the UK. And here's a little bit about what she had to say on that front.
While we have made significant progress in recent years, there is, to be frank, far too much tolerance of extremism in our country. So we need to become far more robust in identifying it and stamping it out across the public sector and across society. That will require some difficult and often embarrassing conversations.
So, Amanda, has Theresa May gotten a crash course on reality, or is this more for public consumption?
Well, it's a complex issue. You know, Theresa May, before she was the Prime Minister, was the Home Secretary, which is the equivalent of being the Secretary for Homeland Security. So she's deeply steeped in security issues. Not a top line, but a real deep understanding. But I think she, in many ways, has been over, like so much of the UK, there's been, in the name of multiculturalism, there's been a tolerance for the intolerant. And that's what she's probably feeling very strongly about at this point. And I think that this latest terrible incident coming on top of Manchester cumulatively has set her mind to really deal with this in a robust fashion. But everything she says, and I don't say this in a way that's intended to be pejorative, but, you know, she's 2 days away from an election. So she really has to show a robustness, but at the same time, you know, there are over 23,000 known jihadists in the UK. And the reality of what's going on in that country, my country of birth, is a very complicated issue, because you don't want to alienate the Muslim population, because you will only succeed in stamping out this terrorism if you have the cooperation of the Muslim population. So what I think probably, in terms of the minds and hearts war, what she needs to do and what she's recognizing she has to do is to galvanize the more tolerant Muslim population so that they take on this as their problem and not look upon it as as our problem. But it's their personal, they have to stand up and be British before they're Muslim.
Let's talk about a couple different aspects here. You mentioned the 20,000 figure, Amanda. After hearing about a lone wolf, supposedly, in Manchester, we're getting these reports now that officials are trying to keep an eye on as many as 20,000, perhaps more, suspicious people with questionable ties. Put that in perspective for us with the scope of a threat that presents to Great Britain. Obviously, the United States is a much larger country. So when you talk about 20,000 potential people to keep track of in Britain, just how big of a challenge is that?
It's a huge challenge. It's an impossible challenge. And I would say that even with the resources of the United States, to keep 24-hour track on over 20,000 people is beyond the scope of any law enforcement agency, including the FBI and including, you know, the agency that I admire so tremendously, which is the NYPD's counterterrorism. You just can't keep track of that sort of number plus 24/7. But what you can do is you can encourage in more ways than one the Muslim population to speak out when they, you know, on a see something, say something basis, but more deep than see something, say something. If you see something in your mosque, say something, because much of this radicalization, while much of it's online, a great deal of it happens in the privacy of mosques with radical imams. And the United Kingdom has allowed radical imams in the name of free speech to speak out and to galvanize and to inspire these terrible acts. And we just need to really understand the nature of the evil that is being fought here.
Amanda, let's talk about policy, how the law is impacted here when it comes to trying to stop terrorism, because one of the great frustrations here in the past couple of days is that one of these terrorists who has been identified was literally part of a reality TV documentary called The Jihadis Next Door. He was also on footage or in photos of unfurling the flag of jihad in public. He was seen trying to radicalize children at a park. So what is actually required to bring someone into custody and charge them in Britain?
Well, it's all this issue of, you know, free speech.
Right.
And the problem that we are dealing with in the United States and the United Kingdom but is that you can't actually detain people till they do something. Because in our countries, we respect the right to speak out. And we are now, I think, both in the U.S. and the U.K. and in Western Europe, the victims of our own tolerant societies and what makes it so worthwhile, you know, to be American or to be British, and the freedoms that we cherish are being abused by people who want to stamp out those freedoms. I realize I'm speaking in generalities, but it's very hard to drill down on what precise steps. I think that the most important thing is to realize that we have to win this hearts and minds war, and it's going to be multi-generational, and the solutions are not, unfortunately, easy. One of the jihadis that was killed the other day, the attackers, was in fact a second-generation Brit. He had English... he had British citizenship. And what was going on in his home? Why did nobody speak out? I mean, it's mind-blowing.
So can this be won, effectively, if you're going to obviously protect and cherish the freedoms that we love so much, freedom of expression, freedom of speech, freedom of religious expression, at the same time trying to stop these people? If you can't actually do anything until they do it, how do you win?
We just make our ideas better than their ideas, and I mean, that's a cultural thing, and it's a complex thing, and it needs the cooperation of people who embrace the same faith. And until that happens, we're not going to really be able to stamp this thing out. And I think the mistake that the British have made in the past, and it's been made less in the United States for various reasons, but one of the mistakes that we've made, that, and I say we, although I'm a proud American for the last 20 years, is that we tolerate the intolerant, and we don't stand up and make our values the values that they need to embrace if they want to be part of the British society. And that's a lesson for Americans as well. So that's something we all need to pay heed to. Because as Reagan said, you know, the freedom is not free. And we need to cherish and defend it and stand up for these values that we embrace. And take away the glamour of evil. Because part of the problem is that for a lot of these young people, it all seems very glamorous, and it's not. It's just wicked and evil and deeply, deeply against everything we stand for. And there should be no tolerance in our society for it.
Let's conclude pretty close to where you began, and that was mentioning the elections coming up on Thursday, the special elections called by the prime minister. It looks like the polls have been tightening. A lot of folks wondering how Manchester and then the London Bridge attacks are going to impact the vote. What's your read on this parliamentary election? What do you expect to happen on Thursday?
I do think Theresa May will win, and that's because the opposition is extremely weak and also compromised. The opposition leader has ties to very unsavory ties, and people will take a look at what the choice is. But it might be one of the, instead of being an election that you embrace with enthusiasm, it's kind of like holding your nose and voting, because Theresa May is a strong leader. A friend and of Great Britain very much hope she will be successful. But she's taken a beating. And what seemed like 6 weeks ago a shoo-in, I think the margin will be much narrower. And people will, but people won't vote Labour. They'll just stay at home for the most. You know, that's where I think the disenchantment comes in. But we've got to wish her well because she has a true dedication to the values that we all embrace, and we just have to hope that she'll use this as the wake-up call that every leader at some point has to confront.
Amanda, we'll call time there. Thank you very much for being with us today.
Greg, it was my privilege. Thank you.
Amanda Bowman is the founder of the Anglosphere Society. She also worked closely with UK counterterrorism officials while serving as director of the New York office of the Center for Security Policy. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.